Good friends can be like matchmakers introducing you to other good friends. But when keeping the match could mean ditching the matchmaker, it's time to ask Auntie. So, you know, in high school, sorting out friendship drama can take up a lot of time, a lot of emotional labor. But it can cause even bigger headaches as adults, especially when choosing one good friend might mean losing another. So to advise us on juggling the needs of multiple BFFs, welcome to our auntie, psychologist and author Dr. Rebecca Ray, and journalist and author of the new book, In Spite of You, Patrick Lenton. Hi, Beck. Hi, Patrick.
Hello. Hi,
Patrick, I'm going to start with you. Do you or have you ever had experience in a friendship group where there has been lots of drama, and how did you handle it?
Yeah, definitely in high school, as you said, that's, I think, the home of friendship drama. And then after that, my university friendship group, sort of once we graduated uni, kind of devolved into drama and then split apart. Honestly, the way I navigated that was by freaking out and then moving state.
Okay, so you handled it very well.
Yeah, of course.
Totally cool. Beck, what's your approach to inter-friend conflict?
I love that we're already talking about avoidance and just running into state. such a common tactic and so useful at the time, but creates baggage like we were just talking about. Look, I think my approach both personally and professionally is to focus on the most generous interpretation of the other person's behavior at the outset, you know, to try to think, okay, if they are coming from a good place and if I assume that, then what can I work with from there? But I also think that we just need to acknowledge that in friendships, we care so deeply. Like, it's a very specific kind of love. And that means that we're also vulnerable to very specific kind of hurts.
Yes. Well, I like that we have the range here of avoidance and then generosity. I think this is going to be very, very good for our dilemma writer today. The letter today comes from Georgie. And Georgie says, I have a friend who I met in mother's group when I had my first child. Let's call her Samantha. We were a close-knit group, and Sam and I regularly met up for dinners and weekends away. And for a while, we even holidayed together with our families. During this time, Sam introduced me to her cousin called Meg. Meg lived around the corner from me, and both of us were trying to exercise more. So Samantha thought we would make good walking buddies. She was right. Meg and I started walking together regularly and soon became really close. And these days, we're the kind of friends who call each other every day sometimes, maybe multiple times. Beck, I'm going to come to you and get your gut read on this situation so far.
I actually think that in that situation, what we have is we have people that have found another person that fits for them. Like, so far, things aren't really going wrong.
Mm-hmm. So far, of course.
So far.
But we know things always take a twist in Auntie Corner. Patrick.
Well, and also humans are human, right?
Yes, exactly right. How are you feeling the vibe? What's your vibe check at this? And what do you think about this dynamic of new friend and then friend setup situation?
I think it's I think we don't always acknowledge how much really pedestrian things like proximity matter in friendships. You know, like, you are going to be in a way closer to someone who is very near you and takes away the hassle of like distance and all that sort of thing. So it's not surprising to me that like that she has kind of gotten closer to someone who lives really, really close to her, has the same interests, and they have a shared, you know, like, structure of how they hang out and stuff. And I think that, like, I'm predicting that maybe there is going to be a, you know, an awkwardness with the fact that maybe she's getting closer to a person who she was introduced to.
Okay, but Patrick, I want to also layer on the fact that Sam and Meg are cousins. Does that kind of, I don't know, raise any flags or kind of sort of like move the needle for you at all in terms of what the dynamic is going to be like?
Well, yeah, because once it starts getting into family dynamics, that's, you know, that's almost very separate to friendship dynamics. And I feel like families are always more messy than friends. And so navigating that as an external friend Could be really dangerous.
Beck, any thoughts on the cousin connection?
I do have thoughts on that because I think sometimes where there's family and a pre-existing family relationship like that, there can be issues of ownership. So because I'm related to that person, I own them, or I own the relationship as being the original here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that creeping in. Let's get back to Georgie. Let's check in. Georgie continues, "It's been lovely to make such a close new friend at a time in my life where it's often hard to prioritize any kind of me time. But for some reason, as I became closer with Meg, things with Sam became increasingly strained. And every time Sam and I hung out, she seemed really uncomfortable about my friendship with Meg. Initially, she would just change the topic every time I mentioned Meg, but recently, she has stopped returning my texts to meet up or chat altogether. If I felt like Sam and I didn't really have anything much in common anymore, I would let the connection fade. But I actually really love her and really value our friendship and the friendship between our families. I'm sad that she's deliberately stepped away, and I'd hate to think I've offended her in some ways by being friends with Meg." Now, Patrick, what's your take on this situation? Because Sam is the one who introduced them, and now she's withdrawing.
Yeah, I mean, it could be because she's uncomfortable about the friendship with Meg, like, but there is so much like projection and like, and I wonder if it's this and could it be this? And, you know, maybe something completely different's going on. Like maybe she's had, you know, a month of food poisoning or something and can't answer her text, you know, like it's really interesting when you hear sort of things like this and these people are like, they're panicking and they're conjecturing, you know, what all the reasons are. And I just feel like it's something that you can ask.
So it's like the most generous interpretation, as Beck was saying up at the top of the conversation, be a bit more generous in what you think might be going on.
Yeah, you know, or just ask.
Well, she's not returning the text, so maybe she is and she's not getting an answer.
True.
Beck, true. With your psychologist hat on, if you were Georgie, how would you be feeling right now? And what do you think of Sam's distancing?
Yeah, I think Georgie's sadness is really understandable because when a friendship shifts, especially one that's, you know, been significant for that person and, you know, landed at a really good time in Georgie's life, it can feel like a loss. But I agree with Patrick here. Perhaps there's an element of assumption that's going on because Georgie can't get more data because Sam's not responding to the texts. But there could be, this may not be about Georgie. I think we need to keep an open mind. There's some assumptions going on here that, you know, perhaps may not be anything about the triangle that's being created. However, I think we need more data.
Yeah. Patrick, what about Georgie asking the other cousin, Meg?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that could be a good way to start collecting data, like it was just said. But also, that could be a way of starting to stir up family dramas.
Okay.
You know, like that. I feel like that could sort of get into a, like, you know, a kind of she said sort of situation. And then you could find, like, you know, maybe Meg will be like, oh, well, you know, when we were 12, she said, you know, she stole my toy. And then, you know, and then you're like fully immersed in something that you just don't know if it's even real.
Okay, well, this pertains to part three. Georgie writes, "I think it would be hard enough to bring this up if Sam and Meg were just friends, but given they're cousins and I know their family has a history of rifts, I feel even more concerned that bringing this up could worsen the situation. Maybe I'm also worried that whoever I speak to about it will ask me to cut off my connection with the other or I'll fracture the friendship with both. Are these worries justified? Should I just let sleeping dogs lie? Or could talking about whatever's going on be helpful?" Okay, Beck. Some more data has been collected. The history of rifts between Sam and Meg's family. How does this change your read on the situation?
Yeah, look, Bev, I don't like the data. Couldn't we have had better data? Because this data is complex, right? So we're now bringing in family rifts. And like Patrick said, this is where it can get messy, because what we've got is we've got long-term histories in families. That means that we get relational habits that happen. They do this, then you do that. And then we all hold memories of what was done and what was repeated. So I think with this data, as much as I'd prefer to move interstate and just ignore it, that's not the psychological advice I'm going to give, because avoiding the issue in terms of how it's happening right now is only going to provide short-term comfort. So I think we probably need to introduce the idea that we can name it, but name it compassionately and kindly, that maybe it needs to be able to be brought up so that there's potential to hold both friendships. But I also think we need to acknowledge that sometimes when you're in a relationship with someone else, they may not be ready to look at their stuff. And that means that we may not get a situation where, you know, Sam's going to do something different here, mm-hmm. or Sam's even willing to look at what's happening.
Patrick, you're a bit of a literary mastermind here. Can you concoct a situation where Georgie can raise this with Sam, who's blanking her?
Yeah, I was actually trying to work this out. It's like, how do you talk to someone who won't, you know, who won't actually respond to your calls and things like that? I mean, it's an aggressive move, but turning up at their place.
Okay.
That's an old fashioned way of doing things. That we're going with like sort of neighbors soap opera logic there. And it can be in a really nice way. It can be like, I've missed you. I know you've been really busy, but I've missed you. I've got coffee. Let's go for a walk, you know, and I would say just broach it. Like, you know, like, is there anything going on, or, you know, like, are we okay?
I like this because it's completely different from your own personal tactic of avoidance and moving interstate. You're just like, go show up at the front step.
I've grown as a person.
In this conversation.
Yeah, during this time.
I have epiphanies every time I do this show.
Fantastic. Thank you both for being such wonderful aunties today. Psychologist and author Dr. Rebecca Ray. Patrick Lenton's book is called In Spite of You. Thank you also to Georgie for writing in. Best of luck to you. Let us know how it goes. If you have a vexing social dilemma that needs the aunties' help, please get in touch. Having people talk it out is not just very helpful, but also very cathartic. Our aunties are always here for you. Write up your problem, email it to lifematters@abc.net.au. That's lifematters@abc.net.au. Put Ask Auntie in the subject line. Just helps us see it in all of the messages.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.